Whenever the next slide deck is
to enter. Enter or space bar or right click or right
arrow down.
Arrow.
M to the
letter. M to? M. Yeah, M for next. P for previous if you want to back up.
Oh, okay.
Or plus or minus. Or
I
jump each
other. Yeah, that's a good one. That's what I'm
thinking. I got like too many choices for me. Okay, my topic survey was on augmentative and alternative communication systems. Okay, the first slide is what are augmentative and alternative communication systems, or AAC devices. And they're designed for people who can't speak or write or have maybe a problem with speaking already. Maybe they can't speak or write fully due to neuromuscular disease or injury. And it aids the user in communicating with other people and telling them what their wants and needs are. And I also see this as important safety measure in case of emergencies. If someone can't communicate a situation or how they're feeling, if an emergency comes up, an AAC system can be a good source of safety. There are two basic types of AAC systems. One is for conversational or speech needs. And some examples are if you want to talk to friends and family, or if you want to talk on the telephone, if you're in a classroom or at work, and just to specify what your wants and needs are. And then there's also graphical or written needs that people have, and that's if you want to write letters, or you have assignments, or you would like to draw or do some sort of artistic work. People who can benefit from AAC devices are people with a damaged larynx or cerebral palsy, ALS, traumatic brain injury, stroke, and if you have a spinal cord injury and you can't use your hands, then you can benefit from this. The first device I'm going to go over is talking picture cards. And the company that developed these specific cards are Crestwood Company. And basically, it's a way for someone to communicate with other people by pointing to the actual card that expresses their need. When you get a package of cards, there's 115 functional cards in that package, and there's 8 different classifications that you have. They specify things about your room, bathroom, health, any aids that you need, food, clothes, people, and miscellaneous. And there are 5 languages on the reverse side of the card, or you can get sign language if you want, and the cost is $31.95. The pros about the picture cards is that they're easy to use in transport, and you don't need fine motor control in order to use them. They're fairly inexpensive. But with the picture cards, you have a fairly limited vocabulary, and you can only use these pictures. So the picture may not show the exact need that the person needs, or if the other person is looking at the picture, they might not understand what the person wants from just looking at a specific picture. Or you may be communicating with someone that is vision impaired and can't see the picture very clearly, and so then you're not communicating very effectively. And also, I thought, with 115 cards, you need to sort through a lot in order to communicate. So you're constantly like sorting through all these cards to get from one communication to the other. So that can be difficult. Crestwood also has what they call Crestwood passports. And these are more specific to the talking picture cards. But they include items such as fast food, supermarket, shopping, school, recreation, casual dining, personal needs, drugstore, shopping center, and health. And what these are is just, it's a packet of portable book with specific pictures in there, so you can go and do a specific activity. And the one I have is an example of fast food items. And I found this on their website. This is a lady named Mary, and she has a limited vocabulary, and people have difficulty understanding her. And she has the fast food passport. And here it shows her going to Wendy's for the first time and ordering her meal by herself. The passports have about 44 picture cards each, and they come in a portable book, and it's $23.95 per passport. The pros I see are that cards are specialized for a certain activity and they're inexpensive, but you know, once you leave Wendy's or McDonald's or whatever, you can't really use your fast food passport anymore, so it's very specific and you have to have a lot of these passports. The Crestwood Company also has what they call a Crest Speaker. It's a handheld device, and you can type in words, phrases, and sentences, and it will speak them for you. It also translates from English to Spanish and Spanish to English. And they show people using this on the telephone. So they'll hold the device up to the phone receiver and actually talk with the device. it's also very small and easy to operate. You can enter up 100 characters, which is about 18 words, and there are also built-in phrases, about 402 built-in phrases. They basically advertise this device not only for people with communication difficulties, but if you're traveling or you're learning English or Spanish as a second language, they also promote this device for that. And it has a male voice, and it's $379.95. So it's good thing about it is it's compact and has a large number of built-in phrases for the user, and you can also type and enter in phrases, so you don't have to use all the pre-programmed phrases that they have. But it is a compact design, so you need some fine motor control in order to use it. If you couldn't target very well, you might not be able to press all the buttons and type in what you wanted. And it only has a male voice, so that's bad if you're a child or female. You might not want to talk with a male voice. Enabling Devices has a device called a Portable Talking ID, which you can wear around your neck and record a 20-second message on your name, address, phone, any special needs. And this is basically used in case there's an emergency that somebody can press the device and find out who you are and if you have any special needs and what they need to do in that emergency. It's very simple and effective, easy to activate. It's also very visible, so people can see it if there is an emergency. But it could be a nuisance wearing this big device around your neck or on your clothing. And also, if you don't use it every day or check it every now and then, you may forget you need to replace the batteries, and then you're wearing this thing and it doesn't work anyway when the emergency comes up. Another device made by Enabling Devices is a Step Talk. And here it has a series of pre-recorded messages that have a 75-second limit. So it allows people to carry on a conversation with these pre-recorded messages, and that's $90. It's inexpensive and easy to use, but with the pre-recorded messages, you don't have a lot of flexibility in communicating. You have to basically use what the device already offers. And here's a device by Frame Technologies. It's called a Book Talker, and it looks like a book. And there are 6 different levels of messages that you can go to and from with the manual switch on the right-hand side. Okay, it also has optical level changing in addition to that, or I guess instead of the manual switch. I don't have a picture of that. And when the page is turned, the book talker knows which level it's on. And there are 6 levels with 24 messages each level. So 288 messages total, and this device is $500. But the good things about this is that you have organized levels of messages, so when you get used to the book talker, you're probably really good at switching from different levels and using those levels. And also the fact that it has optical level changing, you don't need accurate motor control, or if you don't have any control of your arms or hands, then this would be a very good device. But it is fairly expensive, and again, it has all pre-recorded messages, so there aren't messages that you can come up with yourself. Frame Technologies also has Voice in a Box. This is almost a simpler design. There are only 16 messages on the screen, and 3.75 seconds each message, which is actually fairly short. But it is easy to use and record, and it has a light so you know when you're recording the messages. It's $195, and I see this as a good device for someone that doesn't have fine motor control and can't target very easily, because there are large and easy to use buttons on this device, but it does have minimal message capabilities. There's a device called Say It All by Inacom. This is actually a little more advanced. It has what they call speech synthesizer, where you can choose different voices, and you can also choose the pitch of the voice and different sounds, and so you can really customize what voice you want it to have. There's a lookup table of over 16,000 nouns. They have new technology that allows the user to type in any name, city, state, country, and have it spoken correctly without resorting to phonetic spellings. They also have Clarity Speech, which gives a human-sounding text-to-speech. And as I said before, it's available in male, female voice, and you can alter the pitch, voice, volume. And it has the ability to have an unlimited vocabulary, because you can use text to speech, or you can use their stored phrases. Something they promote this device for is that it's ideal if you have changing communication needs. If your communication needs change through time, then this device can adapt to that. And also allow some flexibility if you have multiple users. It's lightweight too, and a quarter pound. This is fairly lightweight, and it has 846 definable phrases. The device costs about $2,000. And if you watch the speech synthesizer so that you can customize your own voice, then it's $3,500. So the pros are that it offers a great deal of flexibility and speech capacity, but it's extremely expensive. And the last device I have is the Pathfinder. This has a color display and also has touch screen technology. And you can use an infrared head pointing access for the keyboard. And this also has a synthesized speech that comes with it. Users can upload and download information from computer disks onto this device. And it also has notebook and journal function for writing letters or papers. And a text editor also has a calculator, clock, and word prediction. And it's about 4.5 pounds. It also incorporates a couple different things. Language activity monitoring, which basically records language events so that you can see the progress the person is making with their communication tool through time. And again, it has an infrared head pointing device that you can use. But this device is $8,000, which is very pricey. So the pros are that you do have head pointing access and unlimited capabilities with this device, but it really comes at an outrageous price. Okay, there's some areas of research that I saw with AAC systems. The first one is dynamic display. So instead of having just a static picture on a sheet of paper or on the display of the AAC device, they'll have a dynamic display where the pictures change depending on your selection. And there's a lot of work being done on optical control or different types of control for the device rather than just using your hands. And also there's a lot of research being done on increasing the performance and efficiency of the devices so that they can incorporate more words into the device and be more effective communication tools. One research area I saw by Invotech is a laser that will point at a laser sensing surface that acts as the keyboard. And the last thing that I found by Invotech at Michigan State University, this one's actually pretty slick. It's what the device does is it listens to a conversation between the AAC user and the person they're talking to, and actually tries to predict what the AAC user will say next. And so it helps them formulate sentences so they don't have to use as many keystrokes when they communicate with another person. So that's kind of interesting. And then, are there any questions?
Just one comment that the Pathfinder, from what I understand, is pretty cool. There's like a 6-month waiting list to get them. They're all the rage.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you needed that device, $8,000, I mean, in a way, it's like, what's money? But, you know, if you really need it, then it's... But if you don't have it, then you can't really say it. Yeah, it looks like the slickest device I've seen out there. Yeah. Is that it?
Anybody else? Actually, I don't remember too many other people getting applause.
Christmas extra special.
Let's see. Next time. So Marissa, you're up.
I had the distinct pleasure of playing with the Alpha Talker. The Alpha Talker is it's an introductory augmentative communication aid, and it uses MinSpeak, which I'll describe in a minute, to store and retrieve messages. Really, it's meant, the users are kind of beginners. This is probably their first communication system that's, you know, computer-based, and it really allows you to learn at your own pace. All right, the basic package comes with, you know, it's this, which is a key guard, your actual computer base, overlay, which is, this is a sample overlay. They also give you several blank ones so you can kind of make up your own stuff. The memory basically can store about 3.5 minutes of speech at high quality and 5.25 minutes of speech for lower quality or standard quality. It comes with 32 keys. You can also get it in 4, which is this one here, or 8, which they didn't have there, but you can also get it in 8. And you can get optional memory packages that are, you know, give you 14.5 minutes of standard speech. But the memory package is about $900 more. At least that's what it was on the website. And the website actually had all the information on the Alpha 2. This is the Alpha 1. The Alpha 2 is about $2,000 for a base, and then you add a whole bunch of options if you want the extra memory. It's a pretty expensive little toy. On the front of the Alpha Talker, we have a couple things I want to point out, one of which is the control panel, which is this little guy right here. This control panel lets you do just about everything that's on here that it can do. It lets you select if you're using a 32-8-4 location keyboard. It lets you switch between your input devices. You can use switches, keyboards, head pointing. It also lets you store and record all your messages, review your messages, and erase whatever messages you want to erase off of here. On the back of it, you can see that it's got a bunch of little things here. This, you know, you've got your battery charger. You've got a dual control, which you can plug in either a dual switch or a head pointer. You've got a microphone, so there is a microphone in the control panel. This little black thing here is a microphone, but if you want an external mic for better recording, you can plug that in here. There is a switch here that allows you to connect up to a computer, so you can end up storing things. You have memory. The memory on here you can actually store onto a disk, and so you can have 3 or 4 different types of 3 or 4 different overlays. You can have the memory associated with each overlay in a computer. You also have a mono button for a single switch. You have external speakers you can put in here. You have a jack for headphones. You have speaker volume adjustability, so that's the volume that'll speak to someone else, but then you also have an ear volume. So in case, if you have a headphone or something like that you're listening with and you use some of their auditory prompts, you can hear it at specialized volumes. All right. As I said before, you can plug it in. The battery does charge and it does hold a charge, so I'll be able to kind of hold it up for you guys. Turning it on and off is pretty simple. It's right here in the control panel. Gives a little beep. Now these buttons up here are really kind of hard even for me to press down, so I wouldn't really imagine that someone who's actually going to be using this device, unless they have very good motor control, is actually going to be using the control panel. This kind of stuff is going to be left for the caregiver. And it automatically powers down after 2 minutes. That's the setting that it's on. You can change that, however, by going into the toolbox. All right, let's talk a little bit about MinSpeak. You see all these little icons on the keyboard here. Well, they don't necessarily mean anything until you put meaning to them. So basically, what MinSpeak does is you can take a combination of 1, 2, or 3 different icons and make a phrase. And so basically, you can store a large number of messages with only a few keystrokes. So let's see if we can demo something here.
I want to play with Sammy.
And that was this, there was three keystrokes. So you have, I want to play with a person.
I want to play with Sammy.
And you can see that the messages that are, they're recorded in a non-synthesized speech, they're actually someone's voice. That's actually me. But there's other ones here too.
I do not want to go to bed.
So you can actually have, you know, if you want to record a child's voice, so you want to record a man's voice, you kind of have your option as to what voice you want to put into it. And you can exchange, or you can change the expression and some of the intonation with different things. So it gives you a little bit more flexibility. So if you want to have like an exclamation point, cowabunga, or something like that, you can kind of have that inflection in your voice. And then, you know, if you want to just have a single key.
I like money.
So you can have a single key too. Now, with MinSpeak, however, if you have a three-key sequence, but you also have, you know, maybe two keys, like, you know, I'd like to play with Sammy.
I want to play with Sammy.
Okay. But you also want to say, let's play, and maybe you don't want to say with Sammy or with another friend.
Let's play.
You actually have to press the last button twice. So, you know, the more complex you get with these sequences, the more cognitive ability your user needs to have. And that gets into the toolbox a little bit. We can change how much we need, how much cognitive ability we need to be able to use this. What you actually do is you go into your little control panel here, and we want to press this option select until we get to the tools. And now we're in the toolbox. So what I'm going to do is open it up. Right now, as you can see, there are some buttons lit up, and each of these things has like a name on it. And there's like this one here is the setting, the scanning speed. You can also scan with this. Setting the acceptance time, that's actually how long you can hold down a button before it actually activates. And let's say we want to set that acceptance time to something a little bit slower. So let's make it to 0.05. The standard's 0.01, so it's basically a press and a release. You can also set different types of scanning. You can, if you want to do a row column scan, you do need to have an external, you need to have a switch for that. And there's no switch here to really demonstrate it. But basically, it would, you know, just scans across the rows, and then you select the row with your switch, and then it would scan across the columns. But you can also make it do a circular or linear motion. So if you have maybe four, instead of 32 buttons, you might have four or eight. It might make more sense to just maybe go in a circle and just scan each one. Lights you can either put on with auto or you can put it on hold. Auto means that it'll come on when they'll come on when selected, and hold it'll stay on. Let's see here. There's one thing I wanted to. Okay, the biggest the icon prediction and selection. We want to make sure these two things are on. What this does is actually it'll only light up, the icon prediction will only light up things that are active, so things that you've stored messages in. So if I stored a message in this little guy here, his light would be on. But let's say we don't have any messages stored under this one here as the first key, then that light wouldn't be on. Okay? And then as soon as I press him, anything that is a second button after him in that sequence will light up. So you'll kind of see, well, after him, I can press maybe there's four buttons, and I'll show you that in a minute. But then the predictive selection turns on only those keys that have the light lit. So if I press a button that doesn't have a light on, it won't even recognize that I pressed that button. So it kind of helps you if you're making mistakes or anything like that. And then you can also turn on or off the feedback, which I'm going to turn off right now. So then we put this guy back on. All right. Then we need to get out of the toolbox. All right. Then you have to press a key to activate. Now I'm going to put the head pointer in just so I can show you a little bit how that works. And we have to turn the head pointing on, which it is actually already. And I want it to be attached to some sort of like headband or something to kind of control it with your head. But since it's, you know, that'd be kind of difficult for you to see, I'm actually just going to use my hand. And it is actually very difficult. I tried it, and I had a very difficult time targeting and holding it there and everything like that. So let's say we want to say,
who's that?
Who's that? So we had the question mark. We had to find it, hold it, find it, hold it.
Who's that?
And it would tell you, you know, ask, who's that? So basically, it's very similar to pressing the button. And when the head pointer is on, you can also press buttons. So
I want to play with Jane.
So anyway, that's how the head pointing works. But then you also need to be able to store and retrieve messages. So in order to store or retrieve, we need to go back into our toolbox. And let's say we want to say, what do we want to say? Let's just make a simple one. And we're just going to do one button. So I'm going to press store. That light comes on. And then all I do is I press the key sequence I want. And then I press record. Cool. Oh, my memory's full. So I actually have to go through and erase something if I want to go and store that. So what we're going to do is we're going to press the key here.
I want to play with Sammy.
And we're going to erase that. So all I have to do is press the key sequence, press erase, it'll beep, and then I press erase again, and then it goes through and erases. Now, if you want to review every single one of the messages and you want to erase them one by one, it takes a very long time because you just press this review button, and it basically will go through at this corner and go through every single combination that you have for this one button here. So if it stops erasing. It takes a while to actually erase the messages. Once that erase light goes out, I can continue. But that's how you erase and record. And you can also, as I was saying, you can use remote heads. You can use remote switches. You can use, like if you have an 8 keypad, you can use 8 different switches that all come in and maybe have one, you know, relate to one position on that keypad. You can also use this as a keyboard emulator by loading in a specific program into this and putting an overlay with letters on it. It hooks into the computer and it also does that. You can also, here's the reviewing of the messages.
Page one. Do it again. Page one. I want it.
Now the A1, H1, all those things, those are called auditory prompts, and you can actually change those. You can personalize them to your specific AlphaTalker keyboard. So if you want this auditory prompt to be me, then you can change that simply by going into the toolbox, selecting your auditory prompts, and then going from there. So those things, like let's say you couldn't see very well or you couldn't focus on things, you could actually have an earphone. And you can turn on auditory prompts. So anytime you hit something, it'll tell you what it is, and then you press it again to select it. And it's very useful when scanning, because it'll go down and scan the rows, and it'll tell you the first icon in each row. All right. One other thing, you can also do themes, where you can actually let's say I'm in the house theme. So that means that every first button has to do with the house. So then when you set the theme to be the house, they don't ever have to press that as the first button. They just have to press the second and third buttons. And that can be handy. Sometimes, however, the person can't switch out of that mode unless they can work the control panel. So a few of the pros and cons. I saw it was a little bit difficult to review the messages. It was hard to use the control panel without real good motor control and targeting. You really need to have a lot of thought into stuff before you start recording just because of all the overlapping symbols and things like that. You want to know exactly what this person needs to say. And then the clarity of the recordings can be difficult. The recordings you heard are all on the high quality, so that would only be, they'd only give you 3.5 minutes of recording time. However, some of the pros are that it is real speech. It sounds more natural. You can put some inflection into your voice. The icons make remembering things somewhat easy, and it's very customizable. You can customize your scanning speed. You can customize your acceptance rates. You can put stickers on things. You can have all sorts of all sorts of things that you can change the way you like them and what you need them for. All right, any questions? There's a lot more that I could have done with this guy. There's so much stuff. I was like,
okay, I'm curious. How do you connect 8 different switches to that chip?
You connect 8 switches through the, I think it's this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, they had a price for that. The 8 different switches, $125 for the extra large price.
I think that's why we don't have
it.